At this time, we're glad to have Brother Adler Pham to come to the podium and to open to us the Word of God. Brother Pham.
Thank you, brother and friend. I speak of my wife and myself. We are delighted to be here with you. I want to thank you for your invitation for us to come over to this lovely, lovely place and share with you some thoughts from the Word of God. Praise the Lord for His calling to us to minister to the Arab world. We have close to 160 million people who live in the Middle East in 21 nations. The Lord blessed us with the ministry there. We go to the Arab world by radio 4 times a day. And we have a tremendous response by mail. And we praise God that we are residing temporarily now in New Jersey. We record all the programs in New Jersey, send them over to Monte Carlo for broadcast. I was asked to give just a short explanation for my name. Some people call me Adley Pham Panus. Others call me Adley Pham. And I'm one person. Well, the reason is this. In Egypt, where I come from, we are called by my first name and my dad's first name. My first name is Adley. My dad's first name is Pham. So I'm Adley Pham over there. But coming over to the States, I was given a form to fill, last name, middle name, first name. What is that? No last name. You must have a last name. So I said, my name is Pham. Is Pham your last name? Well, Pham is my dad's name. No. What's your last name? So I had to choose to pick up a last name. I picked up the news, which is the first name of my grandfather. Little did I know that I was setting the stage for a great conclusion. I'm Adley Pham Panus here, Adley Pham over there, but I assure you I'm the same person. There's no dual personality there. Well, just by way of introduction, and we are going to study consecutively the Epistle to the Philippians. Please open your Bibles to the Epistle to the Philippians. Just by way of background, when Paul was at Troas, he saw a vision in the night. A man from Macedonia saying over him to come over to Macedonia and help him. He did go, feeling sure it was God's call to go to Macedonia. But when he went to Macedonia, he went to Philippi. Philippi, by the way, is the first city in Europe to accept the gospel of Christ. Third city in Europe to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, was Philippi, which is the capital of Macedonia. When he arrived there, there was no man to hear the message. There was Lydia. You know what happened to Lydia? Lydia and to the people and to Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. Well, as we read in Acts 16, verse 40, there was not only Lydia, but a number of people also who believed in Christ. And a little chapel, a little church assembly was formed in Philippi. It was very dear to the apostles' heart. And he was dear to them too. And the epistle to the Philippians is an epistle of joy and cheer. There are 4 chapters in the epistle. The first chapter presents to us Christ as our life. Christ our life. The second chapter, Christ, our example. The third chapter, Christ, our object. And the fourth chapter, Christ, our strength and supply. Christ, our life. Christ, our example. Christ, our object. Christ, our strength and our supply. Look at the first verse. Please. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. In my Arabic Bible, The word servant is rendered born slave. Paul and Timothy, the born slave of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were bought, purchased with a price. And so you and I are bought and purchased with a price. I don't belong to myself. You don't belong to yourself. We belong to Him who bought us and paid the price for us. And the tragedy of many Christians is that they live not in the light of this meaning and force. They think they are their own master. They have accepted Christ as their own Savior, but not their own Lord. He is not only my Savior, He is my Lord. Many times I have been really convicted when I read John chapter 12. Please refer with me to John chapter 12. I've mentioned this more than once. I should never be tired of it, to draw the attention of the saints to this glorious verse. You know what took place in chapter 11? Lazarus was dead. John chapter 12. Lazarus was dead in chapter 11, and the Lord raised him from the dead. And the people, Martha and Mary, or Mary and Martha, were very, very happy, of course, because the brother was brought back to life. And in recognition of what the Lord had done to them and with their brother, they made him a thief. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. And Bethany, by the way, is made up of two words. Beth, which means house. It's an Arabic and a Hebrew word, which means house. Bethany, the house of affliction. Ani is also Arabic and Greek. Ani, Ania, or Ana. Beit al-Ana, the house of affliction. I sympathize with the people who work at the Bethany church. Bethany is the house of affliction. But we praise God that in the house of affliction they made him a prophet, a thief. There is always a thief where Jesus is. Where the Lord is, there is a thief, even in the house of affliction. Okay? Look at verse 2. There in Bethany, in the house of affliction, they made him a prophet. And Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. See anything strange here? Anything uncommon? A lot. Very, very much. Whose house was it? It was Lazarus' house. In other words, Lazarus was the host. And Jesus was the guest. Let me say something. It doesn't say that Jesus was one of them that sat at the table with Lazarus. No. It says quite the opposite. Quite the contrary. Lazarus, the host, was one of them that sat at the table with Jesus the guest. As much as to say, Lazarus was a guest in Lazarus' home. And Jesus was the host in Lazarus' home. This is exactly what should be the case in your life and mine. I don't belong to myself. I'm His by purchase. He paid the price for me. Isn't this the same thought expressed in Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. So far, he is the guest. But what's the continuation of the verse? And he with me. And he with me, he takes hold. If he is not Lord of all, he's not Lord of all at all. Lazarus was a guest in Lazarus' home. So the apostle says, Paul and Timothy, the servants, the born slaves of Jesus Christ. I read a story that I shall never forget. Two people were standing on top of the bridge across the car in Switzerland. And or rather one man, I'm sorry. One man was standing there. And he saw two people standing and one of them pointing to a villa across the river. See the villa over there? He said, yeah. The villa is mine, he said. Beautiful villa. They went away and a few minutes later, while the man was still standing there, two men came along. And again the same thing. One of them pointed to the same villa. See the villa over there? He said, yes. That villa is mine. Oh, beautiful. Congratulations. A few minutes later, two people came along And the first one was still standing there. And one of those two people said to the other, you see the bill over there for the river? Yes, yes, I do. This bill is mine.
Oh, congratulations, what a beautiful bill.
What did he explain? Whose bill was it? The first man was the bricklayer. When he said the bill was his, he built it. The second man held the faculty. He bought it. He owned it. The bill was his, he owned it. The third man lived there, he was tenant. He was living there. It was his bill, he was living there. I am his three times. I'm Christ by creation. He made me. I'm Christ by purpose. He paid the price for me. I'm Christ because he lives in me. Through the Holy Spirit. I wish this truth sinks deep in your heart and my heart. I'm not my own. I belong to him. Which is done, the great transaction done. I am my Lord. And he is mine. So Christ is our life. Because I was dead. Christ died for me. Gave me new life. I'm alive and I belong to him. A few things are very eminent and prominent and conspicuous and outstanding in this chapter, Christ our life. Look for verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now. This is one of the most important, outstanding Christian words in the Christian literature. Fellowship. Fellowship is the very one of the most outstanding words in Christian literature. What is fellowship? If you try to define fellowship, fellowship, the best definition I can find is this: a common joy in a common object shared with one another. Common joy in a common object shared by one another. What's your greatest joy in the world? What's my greatest joy? What is the greatest joy of every Christian should be? That the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. I rejoice before. I rejoice because Christ is preached and your object. And my object is that the gospel of Jesus Christ be preached throughout the world, therefore we have fellowship. That's why it says, for your fellowship in the gospel. Your fellowship in the gospel. Let me tell you, friends, an assembly that does not go into the world to do what it should do, the world will get into the assembly to do what it should not do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are the salt of the earth. Where do people put salt? In my pocket? No. Just in anywhere. I can think of two places. Most common places where salt is put. In the salt shaker or in the soup. To make the soup palatable. That's right. Now let's be a little bit imaginative now. Supposing two grains of salt in the salt shaker speak the one to the other. Whisper. I like this place. Air condition. I want to stay here. The mistress the other night wanted to dump me into the soup bowl and I dodged the hole. I'm staying here. It's hot in the soup bowl. It's muggy. And I don't like those kind of boulders, you know. They're up against my shoulder. It's difficult over there. I know it is hot and warm and you don't find the facilities on the mission field. But this is your place if the Lord called you there. Ye are the salt of the earth. Your fellowship in the gospel. How could there be fellowship in the gospel? You are an assembly, say. how could you have fellowship in the gospel? I'm going to give you three ways where you can have fellowship in the gospel. First of all, by prayer. And the apostle makes three petitions in this chapter that are a mortal prayer for you and for me. Look at verse 9, please. And this I pray, what? That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Your love may abound. I know we love each other in the Lord, but that you love one another even as I have loved you. Christ loved the church. Now what does this mean? He gave himself for the church. There is one verse that I think it will take all eternity, and we will not reach the bottom of the meaning of it. The verse is in Isaiah 53:10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son. What love? What love? Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? When the Lord Jesus was there before he went to the cross? He prayed, Father, if it be thy will, that this cup should pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What was the cup? What was the cup which he prayed to be? I'm sure it was not the thorn that pierced his holy brow. That was agony indeed, but it was not the cup. It was not the nails of the cross. That was agony indeed, but not the cup he prayed for. It was not the spear which pierced his holy side. That was agony also, but not the cup for which he prayed. Not the railings and the mockings of the people. What was the cup? It was separation from the cross. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, but on the cross of Calvary he was your representative and mine. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. I was there in him. He was in my place. Him who knew no sin was made sin for me. So I might be my, become the righteousness of God in him. And as my sin bearer he shouted, he cried in agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I believe at this very moment, your salvation of mine was made certain and complete. It was a complete salvation. That's why he immediately cried, it is finished. It is finished. The work of redemption is finished. It's done. It's done. It's finished. What love? Of course, fellowship with the Father was restored immediately after he finished the work. And that's why he cried, my Father came to my hand. I commend my soul to my soul. In my hand I commend my soul. Yes? Where might the apostle cry in wonder and amazement, behold what man of God the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Friends, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, said the Lord Jesus. There's one thing I'd like to point out. There is a difficulty in a number of places. I've come to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior in 1930. That's 48 years ago. Not one thing how old I was for opportunity. Right, but 48 years ago. And I've seen many, many cases of friendship wrecked, of assemblies ruined. Why? Because of lack of love in gossip. Gossip. If I wish to give a definition to gossip, I would say lack of love. Friends, next time you are tempted to say something about your brother or your sister, ask yourself three questions before you step later. Is it correct? If it's not correct, if you're not 100% sure if it's not correct, keep your mouth shut. Secondly, is it necessary? Not everything that is correct is necessary to be said. Thirdly, is it kind? Is it kind? The prayer that the apostle was praying for the Philippians, that their love might increase, might abound. Second prayer, second phase of the prayer. Verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. May approve or experience things that are excellent, of good report. Don't be satisfied, don't be content with second great things. Yes, he is worthy of the best. He is worthy of your life. You are dead, and your life is hid in Christ. To me to live is Christ, my prime object in life. All that I live for is Christ. That he may approve things that are excellent. Thirdly, that he may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I read a book for Dr. Harry Ironside, and he has a beautiful explanation of the word sincere. Sincere actually is made up of, it's an Anglo-Saxon word made up of two Latin words. Sina is by the name Sera, C-E-R-A, without less. You might say, what on earth is the relationship between without less and honest and sincere? Well, at that time, the merchants used to sell porcelain of very fine kind, thin and kind. You could see through the sun and see how beautiful it was. But sometimes it was cracked, and they put a wax, covering of wax, along the seam, the glass, so it was not to be seen. They would see in the customer. The only way to dispel it was to put it across against the sun to see the seam of the wax on the crack. To be sincere without a crack. Sincere without wax. Yet, without offense to anybody. See that you offend not your brother. Woe unto him through whom cometh offense. Fellowship in the gospel in prayer. Secondly, fellowship in the gospel can be by public testimony. Yes. Go to mission field. Which is one? Public testimony. Please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to notice two words, very important words there. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Multiplied. And the word multiplied, the original word, means actually a progression in mathematics. There are two kinds of progression. The geometric progression and the arithmetical progression. The arithmetical progression is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, I hope I'm right. But the geometric progression is different. It doubles itself each time. 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256. That is the geometric progression. Multiplied geometrically. You need grace upon grace upon grace, because we are still abounding. Grace did much more abound in Jesus Christ. You are saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works as any man should boast. You need the grace of God. But look at verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, as there is the arithmetical progression. Add to your faith virtue. That's what you need, and I, what I need. Virtue again is an old Anglo-Saxon word. Who am I to speak about? English, that's the word. But it simply means courage. Virtue means courage. Add to your faith courage. And who like Peter could speak about courage? He lacked it. We need courage to witness for Jesus Christ. To our friends, to our neighbors, to the people with whom we live, with whom we work. Add to your faith courage, very especially these days. Yes, you can have fellowship in the gospel through public testimony. And incidentally, I forgot to tell you how important prayer is for the missionaries, for the Lord's work, for the new conquerors. Elijah prayed, and when the Holy Spirit wrote the whole biography of Elijah, he used only two words. Elijah was a man subject to like passion that you and I are, and he preached, he gained a great victory on Mount Carmel, he prayed. You say, all right, what is the book of Elijah today? Elijah was a man who knew the mind of God, and he prayed and changed the course of nature, and sent the whole nation seeking after God. Where is the book of Elijah today? I would say, where are the Elijahs of God today? Where are the Elijahs of God today? I tell you, when you have the secret of preparing prayer, when you know how to pray, Samuel knew how to pray. What did he say? Speak more, for thy servant hears. Most cases we say, hear, Lord, for thy servant speaks. That's what we got. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. As you come into fellowship with the Lord day by day, and enter into his closet, and pray in secret, pray to your Father, and hear him speak to you, and you speak to him. You know the mind of God, and you can do all the things. I think I told some of you some time ago, we're talking a personal experience. One time when we were coming from Fargo, we arrived at Kennedy Airport after a flight of 16 hours, almost, from Lebanon. We were tired. We arrived about 9 o'clock at night. And we had so many suitcases. My sister was waiting for us. My wife drove with my sister in her car. And my son and I took a taxi with the suitcases. We arrived at home at about 10 o'clock in New York. We were proud. The man took the taxi cab driver to the door. You step in, it was raining. Now I will carry your suitcases. We did. And we were tired, we slept. Great time. All the morning I asked to call a friend of mine. I looked for my briefcase where my notebook was and telephone number. I couldn't find it. We looked in every nook and corner. The truth of the briefcase was not to be found at all. And the bitter fact dawned upon me, the briefcase which contained all our passports, our notes, our citizenship papers, our checkbook, everything that would make life possible was not there. I said, impossible. I cannot lose my briefcase. Lord, Lord, my wife says, let's pray. My sister, my wife, my son and I knelt down to pray. Please don't misunderstand me. Many times I prayed and nothing happened the way I wanted it to happen. But this time, to the glory of God, I say it. As I was praying, I saw the taxi cab number in front of my eyes. And I shouted in my prayer, I said, hallelujah, I know the taxi cab number. And when I said that, my son said, yes, Dad, I read that number yesterday. I took the elevator from the 14th story down to the street, and I took the first text I found. We took the police station. I told him my story, to make a long story short. In less than 2 minutes, he had his name, his telephone number, and his address. And again, to make a long story short, I recovered my briefcase. Does God answer prayer? Amen. He does. Where is the Elijah, the God of Elijah today? Where are the Elijahs of God? I'm not saying that I'm an Elijah. But but the Lord of the Elijah is alive today. And he will answer your prayer. Yes. Fellowship with prayer. Fellowship with public testimony. Fellowship in serving the needs to enable the laborer to go forth to the field. Yes. This is actually a privilege that you and I are called to share in. You know what the Bible calls it? Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let us see what the Bible calls this kind of fellowship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The first verse reads like this, 2 Corinthians 8. Moreover, brethren, we do need to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I can't understand it. Now let's read it again, please. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They called drink. It was a grace bestowed upon them to share in the expenses of the preaching of the gospel. And please note how many times this grace is referred to in that very same chapter. Look at verse 6. Inasmuch that we desire Titus, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. Look at verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and all diligence, and in your love to us, we see that ye abound in this grace also. Look at verse 9 again. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that he through his poverty might be rich. And so on as you read on. You read of this grace bestowed upon the church, that they would share in the expenses of the preaching of the gospel. Why? Why? Why should this be called grace? You know, it is in the nature of God to give, the nature of man to receive. When you give, you share in the nature of God. It's the grace. It's the grace of God. So this is fellowship in the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel in three ways, as you said, in prayer, in public testimony, and also in the giving to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. Please, my time is running. Verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me has fallen, I was rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the parish and all other places. And he goes on to say how this was a great joy to him. Fellowship in the gospel, because we belong to him, because he is our life, brings joy. You rejoice as you see the work of the Lord goes on. You rejoice in all your experiences as you live the life of Christ on earth. You are filled with joy. Joy in all circumstances. Joy in all difficulties. Joy in all troubles. Remember, the soul of the flesh has, I'm not a mind reader, but I can say this from the authority of God's word. There is not one single person here tonight who does not have some kind of a difficulty of some description or another, right? What is your attitude? Let me point out the soul of the flesh that Paul has. He prayed three times for that soul of the flesh. Maybe God, it didn't. And instead the voice came to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. What did he say? Therefore I glory in infirmities,
Can you glory in the uncertainty you have? Can you glory in the difficulty you have? Can you say, thank you, Lord, for the sickness you gave me? Thank you, Lord, for the difficulty I'm experiencing. Are you weary and heavy laden? Comfort with a little care. Precious Savior is still our refuge. Take us to the Lord in prayer and be filled with joy. I don't have much time to elaborate on this thought, but in Psalm 84, we have a beautiful experience. He says, blessed are some class of people who passing through the valley of Baca, B-A-C-A, this is an Arabic word. Those of you how important the Arabic language is. We call the language of English. Don't ask me which kind. But, see, passing through the valley of Baca, B-A-C-A, they make it into a wind of joy. I am translating from the Arabic. Baca means tears. Or crying, Booker. Crying, tears. You pass through the valley of tears, it becomes a well of joy. Why? Because Jesus is in it. The gospel is in it. The Lord's work is in it. Christ is my life. And my life in it. To me to live is Christ. I rejoice. Even in prison at Philippi, the apostle could sing praise unto God. There is a difference between praise and thanksgiving. Slight difference. You praise God for what He is. His mercy, His truth, His redemption. You thank Him for what He's done. You praise Him and you thank Him day by day in all circumstances of life. As we go on in our study of this epistle, we see how Christ is our life and how He is our example in the spirit to come. Let us pray. Most of all, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace that Christ died for us, so it's against us. We pray, Jesus, that we are not alone in this world, but we have thy presence. Lord, I'm with you always. Even unto the end of the world. Father, we thank you day by day for the thing we live and move and have our being. Forgive, Father, which our teacher has given to us. Times when we stop glorifying thee, when we stop giving back the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us day by day to live a life that will bring honor and glory. By name. We ask it in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Turning our books, please, to 411. Before we stand and sing this song, let me mention one or two things about the service to follow. We'll not have any time to leave the pavilion, as we said. And after we have this song, we'll go right into the Lord's Supper, and we'll use these hymnals for the songs that we'll be singing together. Now, Brother was giving us what he considered to be the best definition of fellowship, a common joy and a common object shared with one another. As we partake of these emblems, the bread and the fruit of the vine, which represent the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we were separated, signifying death, his death, in partaking of these symptoms, we are expressing the fact that we are in fellowship with God. We are in communion with God. And so, partaking of these emblems is for only those who are indeed in fellowship, in communion with the living God. If you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ,